Help us now to look into your wondrous word and to understand it. We ask this through your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible is the word of God, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right living or righteousness. Now, this is the thesis we're taking into the study. We could actually call this, if we wanted to, on the way to serve God, because this is what this is talking about. In Exodus 10:3, it says, "And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh, and said unto him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me." So this is the thing. We're looking at Deuteronomy, and this is what it is. As we travel through this world, we have enemies, and they don't want, especially the devil, he does not want us to serve God, and you're going to see that, okay? Pharaoh here is a title of the Egyptian kings, which stands for the devil, and we know that the devil is the power, the spirit of the air. And then it says, how long before you refuse to humble yourself? And this is the thing. God wants his people into Canaan. Canaan means humiliated. He wants us in a place to be humble. Like Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require thee, O man, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? It says, that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. So that's the thesis we're taking into the study. And so we left off here in Deuteronomy 20, chapter 2, verse 20. It says, that also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in the old time. And the Ammonites called them Semsumims, whatever, difficult word. Semsumims or something. Anyway, those are the Ammonites. They had those giants living in their land, okay? These were giants. Just like we covered the giants that lived in Edom, the giants that lived in Moab, the giants that lived in Ammon, okay? And so this is a parenthesis. This is an added material that God is adding. You could leave this verses out if you wanted to and still make sense, but God has put them in there because this is what's going on. He says, and by the way, this is what's going on. These people call those giants, which means this, intriguing, arouse the curiosity or interest. These are the Ammonites, okay? Those are the, and we looked at their gods, the gods that lived there. And so, somehow my machine locked. Let me start over. We'll start it here. So, and so a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. This is a mouthful. Look at this, folks. They're coming in, that arrow, they're coming in. God told them, don't mess with the Edomites or the Moabites. Leave them alone. I'm not going to give you their land. We saw that. And now he says, and by the way, don't mess with the Ammonites either. And says, there were giants in all these places. There were giants in Ammon. There were giants in Moab. There were giants in Edom. But God destroyed them. I says, that's interesting. God destroyed the giants. And these people, once God destroyed the giants, they lived in that place, and they stayed there. It says, dwelt in their stead, took their place. Interesting. Now, these people are outside the land because they dwelt in their stead. And as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them, and they succeeded them. He says, just like he did it. See, this is within the parentheses. He says, just like he did with Esau. Same thing he did with Laban. And he says, the Horims lived therein. And also, it says, and they dwelt in their stead. They did the same thing. And it says, even unto this day. And I believe, folks, he was saying, Moses was talking to the people at the plains of Moab. He was saying this to them. But I think that also applies to us. This is still going on. God destroys the giants or the fears that we have as we're going through this life. And then we stop there. We stay there. We stay there. On the way to serve God, we stop. And I'm going to show you some more. Look at this. They're not serving God. All those people, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, they're outside the land. This is the land. That's Canaan. That's where God wants his people. And they're on the way. The old crowd has died. The people were fearful to go in there because there were giants. Remember, they told Moses, we can't go in there. Only two people, Caleb and Joshua, came back with a good report. So all these people, even unto this day, there's many people that will not serve God. They won't serve God because they're afraid of the giants. And so look at this. And the Avins, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Asa, the Camphortims, which came forth out of Camphort, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. So all these, this is the end of the parentheses, all these, God says, this is what's going on. God takes care. Sometimes we set out to serve God, but along the way something happens and we start accumulating things. And we get comfortable in life, and we don't go in to serve God. And you can see that here. And God, Moses is telling this new crowd, the people that are going to be going in, he says, look, this is what your parents did. Don't do that. So he's telling the story. This is what's going on. Dwelt in their stead. They sat down, refused to go in. So the best safe place, folks, is to serve him. God gives things to us. God gives us good health, material things, resources. And so we're supposed to serve him. Not forget, because he's going to warn them several times in the book of Deuteronomy. Don't forget that I took you out of Egypt. It is I that give you all these things. Don't forget that. So he's going to remind them several times. Now look at this, folks. This is in Joshua 24:12. This is after they got in. And he says, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave out from before you even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. I have given you a land which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwelled in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat? Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So this is the gist, okay? And Moses, now this is Moses says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. See, they're traveling. This is the new crowd. This is the younger crowd. He says, okay, the old folks died because they rebelled. But now he's telling them this. They're there at the plains of Moab. So he's telling them, this is what I said to you. Rise, take up your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Sihon the Amorite, that's the giant, king of Heshbon, and his land, began to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now, he said this before, don't contend with Edom. Don't contend with Moab. Don't contend with the Moabites. But he says, now it's time to get into the battle. Now it's about to begin. As you pass, they pass the brook Sered. Sered. And now they're about to come into the river. They're about to pass the river Arnon. So when I study the Bible, I want to see what these names mean. And they give you so much insight. The river Arnon, that's the river right there. It's not a brook anymore. The current is stronger. And look what it means. A brawling stream. That's what Arnon means. A rough or noisy fight. Confusion. And that's how the enemy comes at us. He wants to confuse us. Okay? You're about to come into this river. It's going to get harder now. Because the brook was, that was just pruning. That was just taking the bad stuff out of your life. But now it's going to get tough. You're going to have to contend in the battle. And he says, I have given unto thy hand Sihon. Now look at Sihon. Sihon means tempestuous, turbulent, or conflicting emotion. And Heshbon means intelligence. Contrivance, the use of skill to bring something about or to create something. That's our enemy. God has given us a window into our enemy. The enemy is very intelligent, and this is why even Michael says, the Lord rebuked thee. We're not supposed to take him on because we'll lose. Only one that won against the devil by taking him on himself. But the Lord does show us how to do it, and that's to use the Word of God. And so, he says, this is what you have. You're about to go into this area. Now you can contend with the enemy. And keep this in mind. So that area there, folks, from the river Arnon, right there, all the way up, that's the land that three tribes did not go in. Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Manassites, half the tribe of Manasseh, they stayed outside. They didn't go in. Dodo birds. That's not what God wants you to stay. He doesn't want you to stay there. He gives you the land. He gives you what's there. And it can happen to us, folks. God gives us good. On the way to serve God, God gives us good things. We accumulate properties. We accumulate wealth. And we start getting comfortable. And look, begin to possess it and contend, struggle. This is going to be a struggle. You're going to have a struggle to go because he wants to get them into the land as soon as possible. It's taken 40 years. Those people, the old generation, they spent the whole time in the desert wandering around 40 years. And now he says, okay, it's time to get in. You guys, these were the babies. These were the children at the time. They've grown up. They're now 40 years old, a lot of these people. He says, okay, it's time to go in. Look, and just to remind you, this is the sons. They're being compared to the sons of Anak. The sons of Anak are giants. All these giants I've been talking to you about, this is what they're like. The sons of Anak are Sheshai, who am I? Who I am? Ahiman, what I am? And Talmai, what I can do? This is what you. And you hear about people, young people especially, that claim to be confused. And the media and our world will help them confuse them. When I heard about this math that would 10 years ago or so. The new core math, they were purposely trying to confuse the young people. And because that math is crazy. It was not the math that I got in high school or even in middle school. And then also now we're in a time when they're saying, if you feel like a girl, it's okay. No, it's not. And God's and way back there in Deuteronomy in the law, God tells us, man should wear men's clothes and a woman should wear women's clothes. Why? So that you won't confuse the young people. They're easily confused. And so this is the enemy. This is the, he comes at you like this. Who am I? What can I do? You know, who am I? So God doesn't want us to forget that. But the enemy comes at you and he wants to confuse you. Okay, so that's the thing. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear a report of thee and shall tremble and shall be in anguish because of thee. God says, this is who you are. And I'm going to put the... They had Jehovah God traveling with them. And you know, when we read about Rahab, she says, we have heard what you guys did to the Red Cross, the Red Sea. We have heard. So of course, God, it was God doing it. This is what this is stressing, folks. God, Moses is encouraging this new generation. It is God that does the work. You just take the benefits. Don't take it upon yourself. Don't forget, it is he that took you out of Egypt. It is he that provides all these good things for you. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Who shall... All these, so he's trying to encourage these people. You're about to go into this land, and we're going to, oh, that's going to get good. So look at this. We dealt with Edom, that's the flesh. We dealt with Moab, that's the world. And now we're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what Ammon took on. These are these people up there. Which, notice how Ammon and that land right there are kind of knit together. That I believe that's, maps are so wonderful. I mean, I could teach a class. In fact, I offered that over at the homeschoolers. I says, this is, what would you call it if you taught a class here? I says, I would call it the Bible by maps. And the director says, I don't know if I could sell that to the parents. I says, okay, well, that's what I would call it. And she says, well, can you teach apologetics instead? I says, sure. I'll just let my maps in there gradually without them knowing it. I'm going to put my maps in there because maps have so much information, folks. I'm telling you, look at this. Ammon and that land. Okay, so, but notice this. This is interesting. Moab is between Arnon, the river of Arnon, and the brook Zered. That's Moab. But yet, they're in the plains of Moab, which is a distance, the lowest land on this earth. That land is 1,300 feet below sea level. That's the lowest land. And hardly anything grows there because it's very salty, saline. Very few plants can grow there. It's the lowest part. It's useless. It's a waste, you know? And God says, you can stay outside the land, and you're going to waste your life. Okay? Now, look at John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That's Moab. Remember Balak? That's at that point when Balak comes in the book of Numbers. Balak is the king of Moab. His name means waster. He wants to waste your life. And notice how far it is. And he's the one that says, he was all concerned. These people that are traveling, you know, they're licking up the places they're coming in as the dust. So he hired, look what it says here. In John, 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits which are, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So guess who Balak hired? Remember Balaam, the talking donkey? He's a confusing character. When you read about him, I says, is he a prophet of God or not? Because he knows the Bible, and he claims to work for God, and God talks to him. And I'm thinking, but folks, that's deception. And he's been hired by who? By Balak to curse the people of God. And he comes in, and eventually he gets women, lose women to infiltrate the people of God, and God gets angry with them. Oh, good night. Because of that. So you know that he's not a good guy. There's prophets out there that claim to be teaching the word of God. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. No siree. Look at this. I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying. Now, this is about the show. It says, if you think that you can play handsies or be friends with the world, don't do it. Because he already told you, the world hates you. And we think we get, they're not bad, you know. Oh, look at this. He shows us, says, let me pass. This is what Moses says. We told that king, let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn to the right nor to the left. I'm just going to go through you, okay? I don't want to mess with you, okay? I just want to serve God. And he says, we did that. We tried that. We're just going to go through there. We're not going to take your land. We're just going to go right through there. And thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat. You don't have to give me anything. I'm on the way to serve God. I don't want anything from you. Water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. See, we said that. We don't want to mess with you guys. The spiritual realm. But as the children of Esau, and he's telling us, look, we did that with the children of Esau, that's Edom, and we did that with the children of the Moabites. We did that. As the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord our God giveth us. He says, we're not going to go through here. We're not going to mess with you guys. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate. And so here you have it. The world has already decided they hate. The devil hates two people in the world right now. One is the Jew and the other one is the Christian. He hates us. Okay? As he hates us. And so that he might deliver him unto our hands. So God says, I'm gonna take care of it. You don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of him. God tells us that. That guy, just like he told him, he keeps telling him that, don't be afraid of these giants. I'll take care of it. God says that as it appears this day, because Moses is retelling the story. Now, James says this, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Okay? And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Okay, so begin to possess that thou mayest inherit his land. He says, I'm going to give you the land. They don't want to let you go through. God says, I did that on purpose. So you can take him. And so he's going to give him the land. All that big chunk of land along the eastern side of Jordan, which the children of Israel are going to take. Now look at this. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. Okay? Jahaz means threshing floor. To stamp, perhaps threshing floor. I says, what does that mean? Well, I mean, this is crazy. This is why you got to study the names that God gives you. On the way in, there's that city, and Sihon, we're going to battle. We're getting hit on. But I said, why is that? And look at this, folks. It says, and the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. Because God was fighting for them. It's easy to forget. We think we're doing it. It's the Lord. And we must never forget that. And now we're told this in Luke 2:22-31. Look at this. The Lord told Peter this. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you. To weed the bad things out of you. To isolate that which is most important or useful. So that's why that city is there, as the people of God go travel through there. God is going to use that. He says, don't worry about it. I'm using this battle to glean the good stuff in you and to get rid of the old stuff. You can be sifted. And that's why a lot of us chicken out and says, I don't want to be sifted. Well, there's a lot of bad stuff in us. It's got to go. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff. We think we're pretty good. But, you know, Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And a lot of us don't think that. If you walk up to a mother and look at her little baby and tell her, that little thing is deceitful, oh good night, desperately wicked, they're likely to slap you, you know? Get away from my child, wonderful thing that he is. Wait till he grows up, okay? That's why they got to be trained. Now look at this. And we took, now this is where it gets interesting, folks. Good, now I just gave you, this is like an intro. Because look what it says here. And we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. That's what God wanted. Wipe them out, that people. But it says here, we took. Now that's what I want you to pay attention. God delivered them. It's God that's doing this. God, he's using us. He wants to use us because we don't stand a chance against the enemy. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves and the spoil of the cities which we took. Notice how God keeps on repeating something. And he's going to warn us later on when they go into Canaan, don't take anything out of that city because everything is destined to burn. You're going to curse yourself. But here we're told that before that happens, before they get to Jericho, it's already being practiced. They're taking stuff, and I don't think they should have taken it. You know, we took prey, and that word prey is to plunder, steal goods from a place or a person. And then he repeats it, the spoil, which is prey. You know, it looks good. Say, hey, it was there for the taking. But God is about to show us a principle here. Look at this, folks. In Genesis 14:22, when Abraham had come back from a great battle, the king of Sodom and Gomorrah came out to him, and Abraham said this unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He's the one that owns everything. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lashet, excuse me, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. See, a thing can happen here. A switch can occur. You start thinking that it wasn't God that gave you those things because you took them, that it was this other thing. The world gives you these things. And the minute you do that, you're going to make a mistake. Because look, it happened to Jacob. Jacob, when he was working for his father-in-law, and his father-in-law says, what should I give you for a pay? He says, just give me the spotted calves and the ring strike, and that'll be my pay. And then Jacob set out to be a trickster, which he was, and he started cutting branches, spots on the branches, and put them before the cattle and the goats or whatever, the rams. And he thought that he was working with genetics. Duh, this is how it works. No, it don't. That's dummy. That's not how it works. That's not how, look at this. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and of chestnut and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And then, but God shows him, and it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. That's how God talked to them back then. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-striped, speckled, and gristled. God is showing them, you're not doing that. I'm doing it. I'm going to make you rich. And we're told that Jacob was very rich, folks. Jacob was very rich. When he comes back and he gives part of his animals to Esau, if you go through that list, who can give that stuff away like that? He only gave him a little percentage, just a little. He was very rich. Now look at this. This is going to be a stumbling stone. They took all those cattle, but look what it says in Numbers 32:4. Even the country which the Lord smote, they're gonna talk. These are the people that says, you know what? We have a lot of cattle. There's no need for us to go into Jordan, across Jordan, because look at the land. The land is good. And we have a lot of cattle. Look what it says. They're talking to Moses. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Manassites. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation. They got the right idea at that time. It's a land for cattle. And thy servants have cattle. See? God shouldn't have given it to them. God made them rich, and now they're saying, we have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession. And bring us not, thank you, sir, bring us not into over Jordan. There it is. Is that what God wanted them? No. God wanted them inside Jordan. But see, we start getting comfortable. And you know what these people did, folks? You know. What did they trade the cattle for? Pigs. I mean, that's what the Lord, when the Lord came, that's what they were, the gatherings, that's what they had. They had pigs. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, even from the city that is by the river. So that city there, that means ruins, desolation, barren land, naked. That city right there, that they went through there. Unto and from Arnon, that city that was by the edge there. But notice there's another tributary of that river too. That's where that Jahaz was at. And so even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. So they had the right idea at the time, but over time people forget that. It is God that gives us all these good things, and we start thinking that we got them, you know, later on. I have an ability for drawing, folks. I was born with it. You know, I never went to art school. I just know it. It just happens. But now that I'm a Christian, I know where that comes from. Oh, yeah, Lord, this comes from you. It's He. He does that thing. And so I always praise Him for that. Yes, that's Him. So here they come. Look at all the land that they covered, folks, from Aroer unto Gilead. This is wonderful. All this information, folks, that I'm showing you in the maps, it's in the Bible. I'm showing you right out of the Bible. The maps are not there. That you're supposed to come up with, you know? And that's why I believe the Lord sent me to Israel twice. He says, you need to see the land. Okay, you know? And I went and saw it. I said, it's a small land, but there it is. It's laid out just like this. And so, only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto the place of the river Jabbok. Don't go there. And I think they've gone beyond that. I think that was a boundary that God says, don't go beyond that. And they went. A place, that means a hand, the open one, indicating power. There's a power beyond there that you can deal with. And we're told the enemy is very powerful, folks. God can, but we can't. Jabbok, that means to empty or to pour out. That's that river. And I believe, folks, I've shown you this before. I believe that's where the Lord Jesus went when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's the place at the head of Jabbok, because the Lord went to empty himself. He went to empty himself, and when he came back, John pointed him out as, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He had come back, and but he conquered. He went up there, and he conquered. The enemy could not defeat him, you know. So the Lord can do that. Unto the cities and the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. He said, these are the places, don't go beyond, don't go over there. But the people did. And so that's going to be a problem. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. That's, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Drei. So they went up there, and so the king of Bashan, he says, oh, I'm going to take you on too. So Bashan, folks, is that area way up there. That's a good land, which is now the Golan Heights. If you go to the Golan Heights, that land, no wonder Israel wants it, and so does Syria, because that is good black earth. It is nice. It's very good earth to grow just about anything up there. And that's good cattle country too. And so he's not going to give it up. He's going to fight for it. That's good land to battle at Edrei. And so Og means round. Isn't it crazy? But his immense size and strength. And I thought, does round mean like the world? I don't know. I mean, this is why it's so fantastic. The Bible is so deep. It is so, incredible. This is Bashan. And he came to battle there. So Israel is going to battle. But folks, you got to, that place there, it's pretty unique. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, don't be afraid of him, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. I'm going to give it to you too. God is so good. He told them, I believe not to go up there, but now since they're going, okay, I'm going to give you the land. The only thing is, you're not supposed to stay there because it's a good land. Don't get sticky hands. You got a job to do. I want you inside across the Jordan. And now, let's see if we can cover just a little bit more. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. He says, you're going to take care of him as well. So the Lord our God delivered unto our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And then he's going to tell this, except that king, he's going to remain. So we're going to stop there. But folks, this is amazing what the Lord is showing us here, because this is just like setting the picture. What the Lord is telling us, I think it's a principle, because if you stay there, we take their place. That's what all these other people did. Ammon, Moab, and Edom became enemies of Israel. And you're going to see that throughout the Bible, how they become enemies. And because they stayed out, they didn't serve God. But everybody serves God. Either you're going to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. God uses everything. He's genius. So it's best to be a vessel of honor. And that's why it's best to go into the land and serve God. So we're going to stop there. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your kindness and goodness towards us. Lord, your Bible is awesome, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we thank you for the things you instruct us and teach us of. Help us now to prepare our minds and our hearts to be ready to hear, Lord, your word taught to us and preached to us by our pastor. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we love you, Lord. Amen. And you have 15 minutes to drink coffee and stuff.